Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Reversal Through Jesus.
The reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verse 1 to 11.
The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their pruning spears and their spears into pruning forks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the name of the Lord, for you have forsaken the ways of your people, O house of Jacob. Indeed, they are full of diviners from the east and of soothsayers like the Philistines, and they clasp hands with the foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. And so people are humbled and everyone is brought low. Do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. The haughty eyes of the people shall be brought low, and the pride of everyone shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted on that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, New Testament is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 to the end.
When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew from the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he should be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Leslie and Lynn, for those two readings. This coming weekend is going to be Remembrance, and one of the passages that sometimes is read at Remembrance Sunday is this famous passage in Isaiah 2. This Sunday we'll have a different passage from Micah, but reading some commentaries, Micah and Isaiah are quite similar in their prophecy, and it's all about the upcoming exile, the exile first of the northern kingdom because of their disobedience, and then the exile of the southern kingdom a few centuries apart. And in both, they speak about what's going to happen and why, but also of a future coming back, where Israel will be again established, and there will be a time of great glory and peace. So we have this in this passage. It starts with this idea of day will come when the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be raised above all the hills, and nations will stream to it. Many people will say, come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord. So it will be a place where nations will receive instructions and teaching, and there will be judgments, and there will be idea of peace and no more war. So what is this mountain about that will exceed all mountains? I'm going to leave it just for now, as then we'll move to our New Testament passage. And then it speaks about what is coming for Jacob, for Israel, and the reality of the exile, because they've decided to not listen to God's instructions, but to give their trust in foreign powers, their trust in riches, in silver and gold. They've accepted many false gods in their beliefs and false practices that God had warned them not to do. And as a result, speaks of the land being polluted and God taking them out of the land into exile. But his judgment is always with a hope of a turning back to him. And that's what the exile will do for the Israelites. And they will come back to their land after the exile. And there will be a change that has been forever since. They will never go back to idolatry in a sense of going worship false gods. Once they were back to the exile, that was one of the things that really transformed themselves as a people. But of course, idolatry is not just about building little items and false gods. It's a much deeper reality that Jesus then would speak about when he comes. And that leads me to the New Testament passage, where again we have a description of what anger and greed and evil brings. It brings suffering. We have Herod, who's jealous when he realizes he's been tricked, and he goes about bringing great destructions, killing all children, trying to eradicate that newborn king that he had heard from. But God protected Joseph, the family, and Jesus. And an interesting thought, it looks like it's an upside down exile. The exile of the Jew was because they had disobeyed, but this exile of Joseph and Mary and Jesus was nothing to do with being disobedient, was a kind of a reverse exile. And the whole ministry and coming of Jesus is a reversal of things, reversal of exile, a reversal of death, and a reversal of the consequence of sins by giving a way for us to be reconciled. And that brings me about this idea of what is this highest hill, these highest mountains to which all nations will come and receive instruction. Well, in John, just before the final, would say, journey of Jesus to the cross, this is what Jesus says: Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all peoples, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the works you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And what is he talking about, being glorified now? Well, for Christians, the greatest glory that we see God at work is when Jesus hangs on the cross on that hill of Calvary. And that's the place, that's the highest hill, because that's the place where God finally put into the final motion his desire to reconcile humanity to himself. And now through the sons, that's where people from all ages, from all backgrounds, in all centuries and up to now, are turning to. I believe that Jesus is the highest hill. Jesus is the person now where we can receive instructions, we can find reconciliations and forgiveness. And he is the one, yes, it's not yet fully accomplished, he's the one day who will come back and bring people from all nations, all languages, and to follow him and to a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of justice. So today, let's rejoice in that reality that in Jesus, through the Son, God still today offers salvation. And let us be, as a people at St. James, as a church, a place where people can meet a Jesus, can find a new purpose in life, can find real life, eternal life, can find peace in their minds and in their hearts, and can see that peace that can then grow not just in them, but around them, in their families, in their communities. So let's come back to Jesus, who is the source of all peace. And let's again pray that his church will be that instruments that bring truth, life, grace, mercy, and that many will find through our ministries the person of Jesus. So today, let's pray for the world, the realities of wars. Let's pray for the church that is living there in those places, that there will be an instrument of God's peace. And let's pray for the church here in United Kingdom and for our days and the task that are ahead. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Your death on the cross at Golgotha was not a tragedy. It was the most glorious reality. While we were still rebellious, with our thoughts darkened, you decided to lift up your Son on the cross, to die for us, to open a way to be reconciled. And death couldn't hold him because he was righteous and without sin. And since that moment of death and resurrection, people of all nations have turned to you in new ways, have experienced your eternal life. And we thank you for the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters throughout century to bring about that message. Lord, today you called us to be those witnesses, those martyrs, those faithful people who are telling the story and living out that reality. We often feel weak and wonder whether we are good witnesses to you. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Help us to be those shining in the darkness. And help us to start that with our families, our neighbors, our place of work, our place of service.
Lord, as we read about the hope of swords being changed, hammered into plowshares, Lord, I pray that that prophecy would be true today. The world trades in arms up to $95 billion a year. And I just would love to see that money put into agriculture, can you imagine the difference that would make to our global stability? And for those 500 people that die every day because of firearms, what a waste. And Lord, I just pray for those swords, those guns, those knives, those bombs and those tanks and planes to be changed into plowshares. But Lord, we can't do that when it's hard to imagine that when we hear of all this war going on. As Ukraine seeks to defend itself and the big rearmament of Europe with the threat of Russia and all this, all these worries and security issues that we have around with Israel and Gaza and the conflict that could spill out with that. Lord, it's hard to imagine how do we turn these swords into plowshares. But Lord, would you give us that imagination? Give us that creativity. Give us that peace beyond all understanding. Because Lord, it seems like this world is going in one direction. It's not in yours. Help us, God. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.